Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to gather together as believers, Lord, just to come here and be in your word, Lord, and to search your word, search your scriptures with other people of like precious faith, Lord, to lift each other up, Lord, that we each bring our own lick of fire, Lord, and just add to the fire, Lord, and just pray that you forgive us of all our sins, Lord. Pray for all the prayer requests, Lord. Those who are down, Lord, lift them up, Lord. Those who are sick, heal them, Lord. Pray for those who can't be there, Lord. Just pray that they'll be back with us soon. Pray for those traveling, Lord, and just pray for all things in your precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your scriptures today, we can turn to John chapter 9. Give your Bible today. Everyone sit down. All right. Still getting into the flow of things. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So sometimes we wonder, you know, why do things happen? Why are there trials? Why are bad things happening to people and the believers? But God is saying that no one sinned. No one sinned that this man should be born blind, but it's simply that the works of God will be made manifest in him. So it's no one's fault. You know, it's who sinned that maybe you would have diabetes? Who sinned that you would suffer from this affliction? Who sinned that maybe you'd have depression? Who sinned that, you know, you would have high blood pressure? Who sinned that these things would come upon us, that people would get in car wrecks? And who sinned that these things would happen? And it's that nobody sinned. You know, nobody sinned. It's just that the works of God be made manifest in you. And through our struggles, that is how God will make his work manifest. You know, like Brother Branham said, you know, he has to display his attributes. He couldn't save if there was no one lost. He couldn't heal if there was no one sick. You know, and the question is asked, who sinned? And it might be the same person who sinned when Job was persecuted. And there was no one who sinned when Job was persecuted. Job was challenged by the devil. The devil said God put a hedge around him, and that's why Job was righteous, because Job was in a place of, you know, he had wealth, he had children, he had a wife, he had many things that made life, you know, better on him, easier on him, and made the troubles of life, you know, seem maybe a little more distant than it was for the other people. And so the devil calls this out and says, well, there's a hedge around him. Of course he's righteous. But when Job lost his cattle, he was righteous still. And when Job lost his money, he was righteous still. When his sons died, when his children died, he was righteous still. And when his wife said, curse God and die, he was still righteous. When his friends rebuked him, he was still righteous. So don't be surprised when these things happen to you. Don't be in shock. You know, we know we're children of God. We know this is a war. This is not a lunch table. This is not a picnic. This is a battlefield. So don't be surprised and maintain your righteousness. God is testing you. He's going to see how you react. You know, and maybe he said, you know, have you considered my servant? And maybe that's why things are happening, so that you can prove yourself as a believer. The same way that God must manifest his attributes when someone is lost, he is to save them. When someone is sick, he must heal them. Well, if you're a Christian, when you go through a trial, you have to prove that you're a Christian. You have to prove that your faith is stronger than your trial, that your faith in God is going to take you through this. You will overcome through this. So it's going to be God working in you and manifesting those works in you through what you suffer and through the trials that you go through. And let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. So it can be a strange scripture to read. Because typically, you know, as humans, we always want to have a joy. We always want to have laughter. We want to have a good time. And, you know, it is a good time to get around believers and fellowship. But, You know, sometimes having a good time and laughing isn't what's going to perfect us. That's not what's going to edify us. It's going to build us up. You know, and even you think of that's where all your character is built. It's through the things you go through. You know, parents often say that expression. You know, it builds character. When your kids are going through something, you say, well, it's okay. It builds character. So there's things that they go through where it's like, well, that's actually going to help them become a more mature person. Because if they don't go through anything, you know, they're going to end up spoiled and rotten. And the Bible says, you know, you spare the rod and you spoil the child. You know, and God is our Father, so He's not going to spare the rod. He's not going to spoil us so that we cannot be perfected. You know, He wants us to come to perfection. He wants us to grow up, to grow to maturity. So He's not going to spare the rod. He's not going to go easy on us. But He also won't tempt us beyond what's common of man, as the Bible says. He's not going to tempt us beyond what we can handle, beyond what we can go to Him for and seek strength from Him for. So He's never going to tempt us or you know, rock the boat so much that we fall over and we capsize. He's always going to keep us right in line with how we're supposed to be. And even that scripture, you know, sorrow, you know, the house of mirth. And you think of, you know, the house of mirth, and mirth is essentially just happiness or laughter or maybe a comedy show. Or mirth is that kind of celebration or activity you participate in where everything's fine, everything's good, you know, everything's great, and you're just in the house of mirth. And that's where the world is at, you know. And sometimes you see people doing what they do, and we know it's Pride Month, and we know there's all these different things going on, and that's the house of mirth. People are being told what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. But when you come to the Word of God, it's going to tell you what you need to hear. Even if it's an uncomfortable truth, even if it stirs you up, even if it really pricks your heart, that's what it's supposed to do, you know. Because when you go out in the world, they say, oh, everything's fine, you're okay the way you are, and, you know, and that doesn't prick your heart. When you come to the Word and someone comes up in the pulpit and says something and applies to your life, and even if it's something that you're doing wrong, it's going to prick your heart. It's going to stir something up that wasn't stirred up before. But when you're just given, you know, a validation and everything's okay and you know, just wave everything off and the world's not the problem, you don't have any problems, you're perfect the way you are, no, that's a lie. And it's a lie that's gonna really going to do more harm than good. People do that in intention. They kind of intend to, you know, help you out and lift you up. But what really is going to edify you and improve and perfect you is what's going to be the things that are hard to go through. It's going to be the sorrow, you know. That's why the sorrow is better than laughter, because the sorrow of your countenance, but your heart will be made better. So it won't always feel good, but it is good for you. Kind of like medicine sometimes. And as the scripture said, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. So I pray that, you know, when we come to church, we're not here to hear the song of fools. You know, even Paul said, you know, if I come here and I try to please man, I can no longer be a servant of God. So when people are up here, we're not trying to appeal to you. We are trying to help you, but we're not trying to appeal to, you know, what you want to feel or the things that maybe would sound good to you, but we're trying to edify you and bring you closer to what the scriptures say. Because you see churches where they don't really teach the scriptures. They just say what people want to hear and the prosperity gospel, and, you know, and that's why you see these huge crowds. And it's because they don't really know what they believe in. So they can draw as many people in and they can kind of cater to the people. Amen. But God said it's going to be the minority. It's going to be the smaller group that really gets through, because they're going to be preaching the truth. And the truth is abrasive. The truth can hurt sometimes. The truth, it's not always going to be a comfortable atmosphere in the truth, but it's going to be what's good for you. It's going to be better for you in the long run. So you must go through struggle to build character. God will not spare the rod on His children. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms 141. Psalms 141:4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. So dainties is, once again, just something pleasant, something that is nice to hear, something that is, dainties, the literal definition is something that is like something good to eat, you know, something that's tasty. So it might, it's kind of like junk food, basically, where, you know, it tastes real good, but it's really not good for you. It's going to cause you a lot of problems, especially if you eat it consistently. You're going to start gaining weight. You're going to start getting headaches. There's many things will happen if you continuously eat junk food. It's not good for you. And that's what the world is trying to give you, is the dainties. Those men that work iniquity, they're trying to give you these dainties. And, you know, and Brother Branham, he really talked about how it's really going to be close. It's going to be very close. And it's going to be the religious world that we really have to look out for. You know, everyone looks out, you know, outside the world and looks, oh, well, look what they're doing. Look what the Muslims are doing. Look at what the government's doing. But Brother Branham said the Antichrist is going to be a religious spirit. It's going to be so close. So you really have to watch that spirit. And it's going to be, you know, maybe someone who comes up here and really tries to make an impression on you, but they're going to slip something in there where it's something that you want to hear and something that you don't really need to hear. So they're going to try and slip something in there that'll, you know, just like when, you know, when these crimes happen, when someone is, you know, date raped or someone just slips something in their drink, you know, most of that drink is still intact, but there's a little something in there that's going to knock you out and it's going to be for the evil. So it's just going to be that little thing, you know, like Brother Dale used to say, the little foxes will spoil the vine. So it's going to be those little things we need to watch out for. We want to be pure and completely pure before God's eyes, you know, because God is not going to accept any leaven in our bread. Amen. There's nothing, any leaven in the doctrine, any little thing, it's going to make the whole lump corrupt. So we don't want any of that. We want to be completely pure when we, you know, when we search the scriptures and when we live our lives. And verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer shall be in their calamity. So it's quite literally saying, let the righteous smite me. So I believe that we have, you know, good ministry here, and there's good ministers in this gospel, and they're going to say things that might feel like you're being smited. You're going to feel like you're getting hit over the head, but it's good. It's a kindness. It says it shall be a kindness because, you know, there's many people who, their ministers and their preachers, they don't smite them. They don't tell them what they should be doing enough. And it's going to lead them, you know, to the wrong place if they're not careful. So really, for the righteous to smite you, it will really be a kindness. You know, for God to show you where you're supposed to go, it will actually be a kindness. Even though it might hurt in the moment, it is genuinely a kindness. So if your heart is stirred by what some brother says, it is a kindness that your heart is being stirred at all. Amen. And let's turn to Psalm 17. verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now that's a wonderful scripture. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. That's a wonderful thing. If God can try all our lives, if God can really examine all of our lives, can do a full scale investigation on our lives and find nothing. Amen. That's what we need to. That's what we're going to need, you know, to get through to get to heaven, to be purified, to be perfected, for all the virtues that we need to add. We're going to need God to look through our lives and find nothing, and that's the mature bride He's looking for. Amen. But as long as He's looking through the blood, He'll find nothing. So you just claim the blood, and that's what it's for. You claim the blood so that God will find nothing wrong with your life, because the blood, the red blood, will make everything white as snow. Amen. So those things, He'll find nothing, and that should be our desire as Christians, that He'll try our life and find nothing, and that, as the scripture says, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Amen. And skip to verse 8 says, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, they are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Amen. I love that scripture. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Amen. And we know the devil is also compared to as a lion who is lurking, who is seeking prey. But when we want to pray, arise, O Lord, disappoint him. When next time you pray, and just pray for whatever you're going through, and say, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, or disappoint the devil. You know, because when we pray for, you know, revelation, the devil is disappointed. When you pray for your children, the devil is disappointed. You know, when people, you stop being a halfway Christian and you want to live the full scriptures of God, the devil is disappointed. You know, when you show up to Sunday school and you show up to church on time so you don't miss Sunday school, and you show up and certain things, you know, that you know you should be doing that maybe you don't always do, the devil is disappointed. When you see someone really living the word, the devil is disappointed. I guarantee when the devil was trying Job and he was letting these things happen to Job, the devil was disappointed because he took his cattle away. He said, you built a hedge around him. You made it easy for him. And then he takes it all away, and the devil was disappointed. And he said, well, actually, and he kept moving the goalpost to keep try Job further. He kept trying to say, well, actually, you know, well, you know, well, there's more that, and he kept trying to argue and argue, but the devil was disappointed. Because every time Job was tried, he stayed righteous, and he kept staying righteous, and he kept talking to the Lord. He always, you know, kept praying, and he kept in communion and in relationship with the Lord. And the devil was disappointed. So that is our goal today, is to disappoint the devil. You know, and the first thing that Job did when he first lost everything, the first thing he did was worship. And he said, blessed is the name of the Lord, for the Lord giveth and taketh away. But it says Job worshiped. That was the very first thing he did. Amen. And I guarantee the devil was disappointed. So next time you go through something, maybe just have a little praise break. Have a little worship. Sing a song to the Lord. Read a scripture. The devil will be disappointed. Because he expects when something bad happens to you that you'll be all down and your head will be down and you'll be, you know, you feel like you're not there and you feel like you're just not living up to what you're supposed to. But just sing a little song to the Lord. Sing a song, you know, that's on your heart. And, you know, the scripture says he'll give you a new song. As the scripture, I believe it was Ecclesiastes we read, that said, you know, they want to hear the song of fools. But God said he'll give you a new song in your heart. You know, we sing that song, Blessed Assurance. This is my story. This is my song. We don't want the song of fools. We want the song of blessed assurance. We want the song of, you know, creating me a new heart, O Lord. We want the song of redemption that the angels can't sing. We want those songs. We don't want the song of fools. We want to be rebuked by the righteous, and we want to, you know, fully receive that in the way that we're supposed to and in the spirit that we're supposed to. And so don't be a halfway Christian. You know, come to church, and the devil will be disappointed. When you come to church and you hear something that'll edify you and that'll really help you, the devil will be disappointed. And verse 14, Psalm 17, verse 14. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with the hid treasures, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. I ask the musicians to come at this time. So it says, once again, it says the evil, you know, their bellies are full of children, and we know there's definitely any parent knows, and most people know there's a spiritual battle with our children, with all of the children, and that people are trying to attack the children. And you know, the Bible says to raise them up in the way they should go, but the world is trying to do the same thing in the way that they want them to go. But we know that we have a calling, you know, to raise the children. And live, Brother Dale said, live before the children. And that's what's really going to help them, is living before them and living their life continuously before them. So we don't want once again, disappoint him. If the devil's looking to take your children, if he's looking to strike you down or trying to, you know, make you feel down, and then you have that low atmosphere around your kids, or you have this depressed spirit, and your kids, your children are going to see that. So we want to disappoint the devil, and don't let them see that. Let them see you worship. When something bad happens, let your children see you worship. Let your children see you go to prayer and get on your knees. And guess what they'll do when they come across their own trials? They're going to do exactly what you did. The same way they learn to walk by looking at you walk, they're going to learn to pray. They're going to learn to worship by looking at you worship. Amen. Because babies don't learn to walk on their own. If a baby didn't have, you know, see adults going around and walking on their two legs, they would never think to do it. But they see a model. They see an example. And instinctively, they follow that example. So the same thing with parenthood, and even if you're not a parent, even just a member in the church, and just showing, you know, the younger people how to live. And I pray that our younger people would disappoint the devil based off your example. Amen. In verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And I love that scripture. It can be interpreted maybe in a few different ways, as in when I awake with thy likeness, that, you know, you awake close to the Lord and the Lord is there when you awake and when you rise. But also I think it can be interpreted as, you know, if we're Christians, we awake with his likeness, as in we look like him, we walk like him, we talk like him, we act like him. And so that, you know, we and Jesus are the same. We're joint heirs with him. So when he said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. So if we walk perfect, they're going to confuse us for Christ. And I think that would be a great thing for them to confuse us with. I think even our brother Daryl Ward has a testimony. It's probably better for him to tell it. But I think he said he was you know, being kind to a woman in an airport or something. And I guess she was blind. And then she asked him, are you Jesus? And that's a wonderful thing that, you know, if you were to help someone and they would think, man, this person is, are you Jesus? And for you to be so full of that spirit and to be such a kind and doing what the scriptures say to do and be so, just be such, so in that atmosphere and so in that way of thinking and that way of doing, and to be reading your scriptures and be praying, and like coming to church prayed up and all these things, for someone to ask, are you Jesus? So when the scripture says, you know, when I awake with thy likeness, I believe that's what we should be attaining. That's what we should be aiming for, is to awake with his likeness, to be in his likeness. So amen. God bless you.